This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين. وأشهد أن نبينا محمد عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، Welcome to another episode of our Tafsir page by page, and inshallah ta'ala today we are on page 100, which is the fifth juz of the Quran, Surah An-Nisa. In the previous episode, we mentioned a number of points relating to the issue of being fair and just, and especially when it comes to a husband with his wives, for example, or in the issue of a spouse, a husband and a wife and their relationship, and that sometimes they may have to reconcile with one another when there are differences, when there are disagreements, when one party has to compromise with the other party, also has to compromise. That in Islam is called as-sulh, or reconciliation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as we mentioned in the previous episode, was-sulhu khayr, there is good within sulh. And Allah azza wa jalla speaks as an extension to that issue about justice between spouses, and how in that which you can control, your actions, your statements, your dealings, the rights that people have over you, then that is something which you must do. You must be just in the way that you deal with those affairs. But in those issues that you cannot control, such as issues of the heart, love, and so on, those are the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven people for, because it is beyond their ability to control in that way. And it is that same topic of justice that Allah azza wa jal begins verse 135 with, or speaks about in verse 135, and that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ وَلَوْ عَلَى أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوِ الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ إن يكن غنيا أو فقيرا فالله أولى بهما فلا تتبعوا الهوى أن تعدلوا وإن تلووا أو تعرضوا فإن الله كان بما تعملون خبيرا.
O you who believe, uphold justice and bear witness to Allah, even if it is against yourselves, your parents, or your close relatives, whether the person was rich or poor. Allah can best take care of both. Refrain from following your own desires so that you can act justly. If you distort or neglect justice, then Allah is fully aware of that which you do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, as you can see, Allah azza wa jal commands us to be قوامين بالقسط شهداء لله, people who uphold justice and people who bear witness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning with the truth. And Allah azza wa jal begins this verse with a call out to the people of Iman. يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, O people of faith, O people who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that call to the people of Iman then shows that the command that then comes after it is from the attributes of the people of Iman. It is from the things that they should embody. And so the believer is someone who is just, someone who speaks the truth, someone who make, when they make testimony or they bear witness, they do so with truth and upon justice. And that is because Allah azza wa jalla then goes on to mention those things that sometimes divert people away from that level of justice, from those things that people often compromise, these issues of integrity, justice, speaking the truth about. One of those things that can compromise this is when the people involved are people that are close and dear to you. As Allah Azza wa Jalla says, عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ, even if that justice means that you have to speak against your own self, meaning that you have to confess to doing something which is incorrect, you have to speak the truth in terms of giving that testimony, and it may harm you in that certain issue. And that is because that is something which is difficult to do. It requires a great deal of self-discipline, a deal of iman, a great deal of iman and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fear of Allah azza wa jal, that someone would own up to making a mistake. And a very small example, and there are many examples of this, but something which you see commonly on the streets is when, for example, two people are involved in a motoring accident. The two cars, they hit one another. and one person was clearly in the wrong. But what you will often see is that those two people, I'm speaking about Muslims here, both of them will deny that they had any part in the mistake or in the accident. Both of them will deny that it was their fault. Whereas one of them was clearly at fault, but instead of saying and putting their hands up and apologizing and saying, look, I actually made a mistake, it was my fault, you know, I apologize, and so on and so forth, they will be obstinate. And sometimes that issue will involve the police, and sometimes it will go to the courts or each person, and sometimes it involves not only not speaking the truth and standing up for justice, but actually involving people that weren't there. Having people that are false witnesses, bringing false testimony, simply so that this person is held to be liable for that particular accident. That's a very small example. But you see this in cases of marriage, you see this in cases of divorce, you see this in cases of inheritance, you see this in business dealings, in so many different aspects, that people, if it means that it will harm them financially, it will harm them in terms of maybe their reputation or whatever it may be, then those people will go not only to the extreme of not being just, but going to the extreme of having false testimonies and witnesses and so on. And so Allah Azza wa Jal says that even if it is against yourself, and that is something extremely difficult to do, أَوِلْ وَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ, or if it is against your own parents or your closest relatives, because those people are close to you, those people sometimes expect you to take their side even if they were in the wrong. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, the believer doesn't do this. To the believer, they know that Allah Azza wa Jal is all hearing, all seeing, all knowing. They know that Allah Azza wa Jal would hold them to account. And they know that this person was in the wrong, and so it is not from justice or fairness that they take the side of the one who is doing wrong. Such as, for example, this person is an oppressor. He's harming other people, withholding their rights, doing wrong, and simply because he's my father, simply because he's my brother, simply because he's one of my close family relatives, I'm going to stay quiet, or I'm going to do worse and actually support him in the oppression and wrong that he's doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that isn't the case. And that is when the hadith that I think many of us are familiar with, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لو فاطمة بنت محمد سرقت لقطعت يدها, that even if my own daughter Fatima was to steal, I would have taken off her hand. Because that is justice. I don't let her go simply because she's my daughter. I don't pretend not to have seen or to be unaware of the issue simply because it's my daughter. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying that justice would be exacted upon all, and that justice would be fair to all. Allah Azza wa Jal says, and then he gives us another reason as to why people sometimes compromise on these issues, إِن يَكُنْ غَنِيًّا أَوْ فَقِيرًا فَاللَّهُ أَوْلَى بِهِمَا, whether he is rich or poor, surely Allah has more right to them. And sometimes that's another reason that we're extremely strict with people that are poor, that don't really have much station in society, that don't really have much benefit that they can give to us, as opposed to someone who's rich. That if you were to pardon them, or to ignore something, or to show some favor to them, they would perhaps repay you with the wealth that they have. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying no, irrespective of the two. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith that from that which destroyed the people who came before you, is that if the noble amongst them stole, they would forgive them. They would forget them, they wouldn't say anything. But if the poor amongst them stole, they would exact upon them the penalty. They would take them to court and they would punish them and they would give them the full measure of that punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, in either case, Allah Azza wa Jal has more right to them, meaning that the justice that Allah Azza wa Jal has placed is something which you should have fairly upon all of those different people. فَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا الْهَوَىٰ أَن تَعْدِيرُوا, so do not follow your desires that you may go away and divert from justice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that these are all issues of desires. Your family, wealth, people's station, all of these things are different desires that play against this sense of justice that Allah Azza wa Jal commands us with. وَإِنْ تَلُوا أَوْ تُعْرِضُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا, Allah Azza wa Jal says that if you distort or neglect justice, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of that which you do. And that is from the beauty of this religion, that even if someone was to oppress you in this life by making false testimonies, by not showing their clear fault when they are at fault, and so on and so forth, Allah Azza wa Jal will deal with this issue in the best of all courts, and that is the court of Yawm al-Qiyamah on the Day of Judgment. In the next verse, verse 135, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا آمِنُوا, in verse 136, apologies, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا آمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَالْكِتَابِ الَّذِي نَزَّلَ عَلَى رَسُولِهِ
والكتاب الذي نزل على رسوله والكتاب الذي أنزل من قبل ومن يكفر بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر فقد ضل ضلالا بعيدا. O you who believe in Allah and His Messenger and in the scripture He sent down to His Messenger as well as what He sent down before. Anyone who does not believe in Allah, His angels, His scriptures, His messengers, and the last day has gone far, far astray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after giving to us a number of these commandments about being just and fair and so on, Allah azza wa jalla now turns back to the central issue, and that is the central issue of Iman and belief in Allah azza wa jalla. However, in this verse, if you think about this verse and look upon it and reflect upon it, you see that Allah azza wa jalla gives us a command to believe when we are already believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe in Allah and His Messenger. So, O people of Iman, and by default, by definition, as we know, the statement of being a person of Iman or being from the believers dictates and necessitates that you already believe in Allah Azza wa Jal and that you already believe in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, what is the meaning of this verse? O you who believe in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The meaning that Allah Azza wa Jal knows best is to strengthen your Iman and to rectify it and to uphold it in the best way possible. Allah Azza wa Jal says that these are people of Iman, but having full Iman means that you have, for example, all of the different components that you require for the Iman. For example, that you have sincerity, that you are truthful, that you stay away from those things that can in any way nullify your Iman, that you are people who love Allah Azza wa Jalla and love His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of the issues that make your Iman steadfast and also make your Iman complete, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would often say, whosoever believes in Allah on the last day, then let them do such and such. Meaning that if you don't do those things, you have yet to complete Iman. There are aspects of your religion that are still, you are falling short in. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, have complete Iman in Allah. Complete Iman in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Complete Iman in the book and the scripture that Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the Quran. And complete Iman in all of the scriptures that came before it that were given to the previous messengers and prophets. And that is something which we mentioned before, especially when we were going through the tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha and the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ وَاللَّهِ, guide us to the straight path. We said that Allah Azza wa Jal, that verse means to guide someone who's yet to be guided and to keep firm upon guidance those who have been guided. And likewise here, Allah Azza wa Jal is making a call out to those people who, if they have yet to have Iman, they should take Iman. But once you have Iman, it doesn't just finish. Once you say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, once you have a Muslim name or you call yourself a Muslim, it doesn't mean that you have perfected or completed that Iman, that your journey is over, that you've achieved everything. No. What it means is that now you must do all of the components of Iman. You must enhance your Iman, perfect your Iman, complete your Iman by doing those things that Allah Azza wa Jal commanded and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So strengthen your Iman. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal to keep you firm upon your Iman. Do all of those things that make your Iman stronger and your connection with Allah Azza wa Jal stronger. And from those things is to follow the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal as in the Quran and follow the commands of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his Sunnah. Those are the two main ways or the greatest ways of firming up and strengthening your Iman. And then Allah Azza wa Jal says that those who disbelieve in Allah, in His angels, in His scriptures, in His messengers, and in the last day, they have gone far, far astray. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these five issues, these are five of the six pillars of Iman. The sixth one, not mentioned here directly, is Qadr, to believe in the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no doubt that is from also Iman in Allah Azza wa Jal. Because to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means to believe that Allah Azza wa Jal has power over everything and that He decreed everything, whether it is good or bad, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who controls everything in the universe. Those people who disbelieve in Allah Azza wa Jal or in any one of these other pillars of Iman. So for example, if someone believed in Allah, said that I worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone, I believe in Allah, but they disbelieve in the Prophet of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they say, I don't accept him as the Messenger of Allah. I'm willing to worship Allah alone, but I won't accept the Messenger of Allah. Is that person a mu'min? Is that person a Muslim? Do we classify them as a believer? No. Because they have now divorced
different aspects of Iman from one another, even though they are one and whole. So for example, another example, someone says that I believe in Allah and I will worship Allah alone, and I believe in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad. I believe in him and I will follow him, meaning I will accept him as the Messenger of Allah, but I don't believe in the Quran. I don't accept the Quran. I don't believe that it's the scripture of Allah Azza wa Jalla, or the word of Allah Azza wa Jalla, or the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I disbelieve. Does that allow them then to become a Muslim? No. So Iman is to agree and believe in all of these issues that Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned. Likewise, someone who says that they believe in Allah or the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they won't believe in resurrection. I don't accept there's resurrection. I don't accept that there's Yawm al-Qiyamah. Is that person then classified as a believer? No. And so therefore Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that whoever disbelieves in Allah, His angels, His scriptures, His messengers, the last day, those are the people that have gone far, far astray, meaning that they haven't accepted Iman. And so you can't cherry pick and choose. You can't say that I will believe in this one aspect of Iman or this one pillar of Iman and I will ignore the others. That is something which is not acceptable, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning here. Allah Azza wa Jalla in verse 137 then says, إن الذين آمنوا ثم كفروا ثم آمنوا ثم كفروا ثم ازدادوا كفرا لم يكن الله ليغفر لهم ولا ليهديهم سبيلا. As for those who believe, then reject the faith, then believe again, then reject the faith again, and become increasingly defiant, Allah will not forgive them, nor will He guide them to any path. These are those people who, as a result of their lack of Iman or their weakness of Iman, they fluctuated between these two states. And they are the people of Nifaq, the people of hypocrisy, who at times believe and then go back to disbelief. At times believe and then go back to disbelief. And they juggle, or they essentially fluctuate between these two states. But then their final state is the one of Iman, of kufr and disbelief. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jalla says, ثُمَّ ازْدَادُوا كُفْرًا. Then they increase and they become defiant in their disbelief, in their rejection of Iman and the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, excuse me, Allah Azza wa Jal speaks about in these verse those people who at times when they see Iman and they see some of its beauties, they will accept it. But when the dunya comes and those temptations and shaitan and his whisperings overcome them, they turn away from Iman and they will not believe in Allah Azza wa Jal. And then at times they may fluctuate back, or they may ping pong back into Iman and then out again. But their final statement, as we said, or their final state is that they disbelieve. Allah Azza wa Jal says those people are the ones who Allah Azza wa Jal will not forgive. Which shows us a very important point here. And that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge people ultimately upon their ending. What a person ends upon. And that is why from the du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that he would ask Allah Azza wa Jal for husnul khatima, for a good ending. Meaning that you die upon Iman. And that's why we have that famous hadith that whoever says La ilaha illallah before they pass away will enter into Jannah, because it shows that their final state was Iman. So they will eventually enter into Jannah by Allah's permission and His mercy. Likewise, the opposite is true. Whoever dies upon disbelief, that's their final state, they will enter into the fire. And so this verse shows that these people had Iman at times, but they had disbelief as well. Which one does Allah Azza wa Jal judge them according to? What it is that they died upon, what their final state was. And that is why it is important for a person never to take Iman for granted, never to think that they have some type of guarantee or assurance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that just because you are Muslim today, you won't die upon Islam. These are people who lived in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, lived with him, saw him, interacted with him, and yet still Allah azza wa jalla chose for them that they wouldn't have Iman. So how then for someone or for us who come over 1400 years later, do we think that we have some type of assurance simply because we were born in Muslim families, for example, or that we have Muslim names? Allah Azza wa Jalla says that if you die upon kufr, then you are from those people that Allah Azza wa Jalla will not forgive. In verse 138, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, بَشِّرِ الْمُنَافِقِينَ بِأَنَّ لَهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. Give to the hypocrites a tiding that an agonizing torment awaits them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then speaks about in these verses now and in the next passage in the rest of today's episode and much of tomorrow's episode, Allah Azza wa Jal, or the next episode, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will focus on the issue of hypocrisy in terms of their characteristics, their attributes, and their punishment. Here Allah Azza wa Jalla says, give to them the tidings that the hypocrites will have an agonizing, painful torment. So therefore we understand from these verses that the people of hypocrisy, as Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in the previous verse, despite them at times maybe having iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will still punish them in the fire, because they will die upon other than iman. Because if they die upon iman, they're no longer classified as hypocrites. They're classified as believers and mu'mineen. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that these are the people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish because of their hypocrisy. الَّذِينَ يَتَّخِذُونَ الْكَافِرِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِن دُونِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَيَبْتَغُونَ عِندَهُمُ الْعِزَّةَ فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 139, do those who ally themselves with the disbelievers rather than the believers seek power through them? In reality, all power belongs to Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that one of the reasons why these people have hypocrisy, because part of the hypocrisy means that then they become allies with the enemies of Islam and the Muslims, as they did in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where, for example, in the Battle of Uhud, they turned back with a third of the army. In the Battle of the Trench, they were trying to find ways that the disbelieving armies could come into Medina and attack the Muslims. They were looking for ways, always, to undermine and to weaken Islam and the Muslims, and to harm Islam and the Muslims. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they do this because they think that that is where power lies, that that is where they will find fame and wealth and honor, that is where they will find strength and might and power. And Allah Azza wa Jal says that indeed all might and power and strength and honor belongs to Him alone subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He gives it to whomsoever He wills. He is the one who gives it to whomsoever He wills. So if you truly want to find those things, then turn to Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you with them. In the final verse that we're going to take today, verse number 140, two verses that we have left, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَقَدْ نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الْكِتَابِ أَنْ إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ يُكْفَرُ بِهَا وَيُسْتَهْزَأُ بِهَا فَلَا تَقْعُدُوا مَعَهُمْ حَتَّى يَخُوضُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ إِنَّكُمْ إِذًا مِثْلُهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَامِعُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَالْكَافِرِينَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ جَمِيعًا. As He has already revealed to you in the scripture, if you hear people denying and ridiculing Allah's revelation, do not sit with them unless they start to talk of other things, or else you yourselves will become like them. Allah will gather all the hypocrites and disbelievers together in the hellfire. This is an important point that Allah Azza wa Jalla is mentioning here for the believers. And that is that if you happen to sit with people who are disbelievers, non-Muslims, or people who are enemies of Islam or people of hypocrisy, then don't sit with them if what they're going to talk about is issues of disbelief that will undermine your religion and your belief, or issues of in which they ridicule and mock your religion. Allah Azza wa Jal says that if those people are the ones who, when they hear the verses of Allah being recited, the scripture being recited, they will ridicule it and they will mock it, then stay away from them. Don't sit with them. And if they do that whilst you're there, then get up and leave. And don't return until they start speaking about something else, or they ignore that topic, they move on from that topic. And so it's not befitting for a Muslim to sit in an area or a place or to listen to something, even if it's, for example, on TV or on the internet, on YouTube, whatever it may be, in which people are openly mocking Islam, mocking the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal, mocking the Quran. That's not from the way of the Muslim, because it shows a weakness of your iman, that you can sit there and listen to people making fun of Allah, fun of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fun of the Quran, fun of the laws and the Sharia of Allah Azza wa Jal, and it doesn't really make you, you know, it doesn't make an impact upon you, it doesn't make you want to get up and just leave. And people leave for far less. People leave from gatherings and sittings and conversations when they feel like they themselves have been insulted, when someone insults one of their family members, when they feel or take offense to something that's been said, that is less than those people who are openly mocking the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal, and we don't feel anything towards that. The very least, you just get up and you leave. Don't be part of that conversation. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَلَا تَقْعُدُوا مَعَهُمْ. Don't sit with them, حَتَّى يَخُوضُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ, until they speak about other things, because otherwise you become like them. At the very least, you are sitting in that situation or in that sitting and you're not speaking. You can't rectify. You don't have the position or the power to be able to speak up and to correct and to defend, because sometimes that's the situation. Maybe you can't speak, maybe you won't be. And if you do speak, maybe you'll make things worse. So then just get up and leave. And don't return until they speak about something else, because you're sitting there in silence, in tacit agreement is almost like you agree then with that which they say. For indeed Allah Azza wa Jal will gather those people, the hypocrites and the disbelievers, together in the fire. In verse 141, which is now on the next page, 101, but it is connected to this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says,
الذين يتربصون بكم فإن كان لكم فتح من الله قالوا ألم نكن معكم وإن كان للكافرين نصيب وإن كان للكافرين نصيب قالوا ألم نستحوذ عليكم ونمنعكم من المؤمنين فالله يحكم بينكم يوم القيامة ولن يجعل الله للكافرين على المؤمنين سبيلا.
The hypocrites wait to see what happens to you, and if Allah brings you success, they say, were we not on your side? But if the disbelievers have some success, they say to them, did we not have the upper hand over you and yet protect you from the believers? Allah will judge between you all on the day of resurrection, and He will give the disbelievers no means of overcoming the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we mentioned before, says that these people fluctuate between being with the believers and the disbelievers. And what they're essentially looking for is wherein lies success in the dunya, wherein they can find power or fame or wealth. So when they see the Muslims becoming successful, even though they took no part in helping them, in assisting them, in aiding them, they will say, are we not from amongst you? Aren't we with you? We're Muslims like you. Surely we should get a share of what you have attained in terms of the spoil of wars or whatever it may be. And if they find that it's the opposite, that the disbelievers are the ones who are in power, they're the ones who are overcoming, they're the ones who are in strength, they will say, didn't we help you? Because we were giving you information, we were helping you and making sure that the believers couldn't come and fight against you, or they couldn't have victory over you. We were like essentially your agents within them to help you overcome them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah Azza wa Jalla will judge them on Yawm al-Qiyam. Allah will judge you all on the Day of Judgment. These people are only looking for where their benefit lies. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will never give them full power over the believers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these verses speaks about the reality of the hypocrites and how they are people who are only looking for the dunya. And because of that, despite hearing revelation, despite being aware of tawheed, despite knowing the truthfulness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they chose the temporary benefits of the dunya over the lasting benefits of the akhirah. And because of that, they rejected, and because of that, they harmed the Muslims, and because of that, they seek to undermine Islam. And as a result, Allah Azza wa Jal will punish them, not only punish them, but give them from the worst of punishments, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mention, and as we will speak about inshallah in the next episode. Barakallahu feekum, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, wa salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم